This is the Bears Barroom Radio Network, and the following program is brought to you by the Vodoliak Law Group, fighting insurance companies since 1963, and TickSplits.com. TickSplits.com, no service fees. The price you see is the price you pay.
This is the Bears Barroom Radio Network. The following program is recorded live and intended for all audiences.
Radio is scripted now. We just come up with it. We don't use computers. We don't rehearse. We're going to talk about this next. We're going to talk about them. We're going to talk about the Bulls. And then we're going to have Brad Bixon. And then we're going to have all this. No. No. If you don't know what you're going to talk about in the top of your head before a show, you shouldn't be in the business. I don't know what you got. I feel like Vince Vaughn in a couple's retreat. The sharks are circling. Old school, baby.
You're listening to the Mike North Advantage, and it begins right now.
That's right. The Mike North Advantage starts right now. I am Aldo Gandia, Mike's wingman, and we have a lot to talk about this week. Super Bowl week. And we had a Pro Bowl football game yesterday. Actually, was that really football? And we're going to talk more sports with Mike's special guest tonight, Andy Furman of Fox Sports Radio. Mike North, how are you, my friend?
I missed you. It was a week of hell. I mean, it's been nothing but snowing. You were in Mobile. I was afraid you were going to come on and talk with a drawl. I was afraid I was going to have some grit sent to me. But you know what? Now it's doing nothing but snowing. It's not going to stop, it seems like. But guess what? It's January and February. These things happen. So now we're stocking up. We got the Super Bowl. We got NCAA basketball. I've been watching this kid, Zion Williamson. Yeah. He's a beast.
Yeah.
And we got Andy Furman on tonight, a guy that is as crazy in a lot of circles as I ever was in. So you know what? We're going to be doing. I got like 10 guests booked for down the line.
Ooh.
For the next 10, 11 weeks. So we're rolling. I said, who am I going to start with? Who are we going to start with, Aldo? I said, you know what? On Mondays, we do the guest thing. We're going to have Andy Furman. Yeah, the pride and joy of Cincinnati and Kentucky and wherever the hell he can get a job. My guy, Andy Furman.
I love the idea that we're going to have guests on Monday.
Yep.
I will kind of sit back and listen to you and your guests talk for 20 minutes, and I'll interrupt every now and then. But, man, this is going to be cool. And, of course, we'll have the Friday show, all of it on live on Mixlr.com and available on podcast format hours after the show goes live. So it's available everywhere on Facebook, on Twitter, on your podcast stream, iTunes, Podbean, you name it. The Mike North Advantage is there for your listening pleasure. And now on Monday nights, we will have guests. Pretty cool, Mike.
Yeah, I got Podbean. BB got me on Podbean. I'm ready for Podbean. I'm all set up with Podbean. If you're not with Podbean, then there's going to be any other channel you can, the platform you need. Aldo, he's probably got jet lag, although I don't know if you can get jet lag coming from Alabama. I don't know. Did you even fly in a jet? Was it a propeller job? All I'm going to say is it's good. The Senior Bowl, we'll talk about this because we're going to visit with the Indy in just a few seconds. At least the Senior Bowl means something now when you're really close to getting to a Super Bowl. You know, you see what's going on. I'm glad everybody survived the Pro Bowl. We'll talk about all that and more, Aldo. But if we can, I'll bring on my guy.
Absolutely.
The guy who loved cat dancing. He's a Yiddish man, if you will. A man that they paired me up with about at Fox, and we worked together for 3 years in the morning. I had lost sort of my, like, mojo, and then all of a sudden this guy Bruce Gilbert comes in. He goes, I love you. We're going to put you together with this guy Andy Furman. You're going to make it work. This morning show to work because his partner didn't work, and lo and behold, it worked, and it worked out great for us, and we had a great time, and I got to bring him on, Aldo, because I know him. He'll doze off, okay?
Hello.
That's
hello.
Andy Furman.
Hello. Hello. What do you think? You're talking to your uncle? Hello. Hello.
Hello.
How are you,
hello?
My friend? What's going on? What are you doing?
Well, I just finished watching Mad Men, so I'm okay now.
You know what? Shut the TV off, as usual. You're doing already.
I turned it off. I'm downstairs now. Everything's good.
Say hello to Aldo Gandia, Andy.
I can't pronounce his name, so I can't say hello. You know how bad I am with names. I mean, really, I have a hard time with John Smith. Are you kidding me? Now, would it be better if we did it on the landline? I'm just asking.
No, you sound great.
We're on the air, you moron.
Oh, all right. Okay.
We're on
all right?
I'm good. Everything's good.
Well, Aldo, you know what? Fire away at Andy. Anything, he's open prey, right? Well, I don't know if there's any other kind besides open prey, but he is prey tonight, right, Edge?
Oh, I'm a moving target that doesn't move.
Andy,
so
welcome.
I'd like to know one question before we go here.
Yeah.
I want to know who backed out that I got this deal. who said they couldn't do it? That's not, you got to be honest. You had somebody
I
else.
Can't, I got to be honest with you. I tried to get hold of seven other guys, and it didn't work out.
Right. And they wanted money. Right?
They wanted money, and they wanted a little respect. I go, listen, I got a guy that will do it for nothing and doesn't care about respect anymore. How's that?
I just sent a check to you. What do you mean for nothing? I just wrote you a check.
Aldo, it was a great time working with Andy. We had the time of our lives, Ange. And I remember the first time I talked to Andy, and he said, hey, I really appreciate you jumping on. I said, well, it was an opportunity to look, to really work with a fading breed. He goes, yeah, I'm getting a little older. I go, no, somebody Jewish in the business. And then he just looked at me and he goes, you're kidding, right? I said, absolutely. Andy is a Yiddish man who likes corned beef, right, Ange?
Oh, I love it. But I will tell you one thing, though. The only reason Mike North left is because his back hurt him. His back was killing him from carrying me all those years. That's why he left.
It's hurting him now.
You want to really start Aldo on the right foot with you, Andy? Let's tell him about a couple. You know, I've known for some of the stuff that I did in Chicago.
Yeah, but I don't want to talk about the stuff I did because that's why I'm not working anymore, because of the stuff that I did.
But Andy, what you did is the reason a lot of other people are working. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're right.
And you've done fine for yourself. Hey, I'm not going to have the pity party for you. Are you going to start this pity party already?
No, I'll tell Aldo what I did. Because, going backwards, I got married at a racetrack. I was a PR guy at various racetracks. And I got married at a racetrack. They wanted a promotion for the first match. I did that. I had Chris Collinsworth, who now is on NBC. He's a big macher now, but he was a piece of shit back then with the Cincinnati Bengals. I had him race a horse at the Latonia race course. Then I had Chad Johnson race a horse. I had a couple of different guys race horses over the years, D.C. Reese at Monticello Raceway. But I guess my claim to fame is when I was at Monticello Raceway in Monticello, New York, a harness track. And Monticello, New York's in the Catskill Mountains, population 3,000, like 2,000 Jews and 1,000 African Americans. And like a schmuck, I invited the KKK to work for him out at the racetrack. And I said,
Aldo,
yeah.
I want you to try. He had Klan night at a racetrack.
That's awesome.
Tell him why that happened.
Well, there was a series of – Monticello was about 50 miles from Scranton, Pennsylvania, and the state of Pennsylvania at the time didn't have off-track betting. So we wanted to attract a lot of the people from Pennsylvania to come across the border to Monticello and wager. So I was looking through stories. They had like a five-part series on the Klan. So I wrote to the Grand Wizard in York, Pennsylvania. I'll never forget his name. His name was Albert Lentz, L-E-N-T-Z. I sent him a note. I said, come to the track, leave your seats at home, we'll have a night, a buffet dinner, an whole deal. I sent it out to the media. Next thing I know, the New York State Racing Commission said, you're going to revoke your license, you're gone, you're fired. And it made Sports Illustrated look at every newspaper in the freaking country.
That's amazing.
I got a phone call from Sports Service, the concessionaires in Buffalo, New York. They want to hire me at Buffalo Raceway. And like a schmuck, I didn't do my homework. I had no idea that Buffalo is like 99% Polish. So like a schmuck, I have Polish night, and I had the horses go around the track the wrong way.
There's no more characters, Aldo.
There aren't.
You know what? You only live once. Who gives a shit?
That's right.
I'm just saying that some of the stuff.
I'm waiting for my next opportunity. I don't know. I think people may be afraid.
I know one you didn't tell Aldo about.
What's that?
The wife beater. Night.
Well, okay, you know, really, if you do that today, I probably end up in jail. You know, we had promotion at the racetrack. My job, I believe me, I knew nothing about horse racing. I still don't. But my job was to hype it up, create a buzz, and make people come to the racetrack. So I did promotions. I had a promotion called Beat Your Wife Night, where guys would come in with their wife, and they get the program, and if they had more winners than their wife, they beat their wife. They get a prize. I do that today, I go to jail.
Oh, yes.
Beat Your Wife Night.
Yeah.
Well, Aldo and I talk about this, right, Aldo? We talk about what you could do back then compared to what you can do now, right, Aldo?
No doubt.
See
no
society
doubt.
Taking
you can't
out,
do anything
right?
now.
Oh.
Oh, the only thing you could do now is go to a family toilet in a restaurant. I've never seen that in my life before. They have men, women, and family. Have you seen that in the restaurants now? I mean, it's unbelievable.
No, I haven't really because I'm afraid to go out now. I really am. It's gotten crazy. It really has, but I haven't seen that yet. Well, you know what? Do they put that in that? Well, where were you the big spokesman for in Cincinnati?
I don't think I ever was.
Bob Evans.
Oh, Bob. That's my place. I go there for breakfast almost 3-4 times a week. I love Bob Evans. I get three eggs
of
course
you do, and you bring him up on the radio. You bring him up on the radio, and you get considerations, right?
Right, and the guy sends me passes. He sends me, like, coupons in the mail, so I'm good to go. I'm like, you know, I hate to say it. I'm like America's guest. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's it, right? And now we talk about this, that if you are good at what you do and you work hard, you know what? You're going to get some perks along the way besides your salary. I mean, that was the way it was back when it was like Renegade. It was more Renegade and less corporate, right?
Yeah, but I don't want to do any crying now. I mean, I had a great run, but what is this? I keep on talking like I'm dead. I'm not dead. I mean, I still have a lot more piss and vinegar left in the tank, and I don't understand why. You know, no one's going to reach out. And I'm knocking on a lot of doors, to be honest with you, you know. Maybe not that many, but, you know, every once in a while, you know, I just get the urge to say, you know, I'll give you an example. About a week or so ago, I read a story that the Tampa Bay Rays have, like, put, like, a drape over half of their ballpark because nobody goes. The president of the ball club, this guy Steinberg, another Jew, he's probably related to me somehow, somewhere. But he's claiming, like, you know, we want to have it more fan-friendly. He's full of shit. He put the drape there because no one's going to the ballpark. So I wrote him a letter. I sent him my resume. I sent him a whole package of all the crap that I've done. I said, look, I'll come down there and sell tickets for you. Let me go. I'll go through the door. I'll go through the phone book. You know, and what they call now ghosting, this is what they do. They ghost you. They don't even answer you back. You know what? Write me back and say, thanks, but we don't want you. I would love that. Mm-hmm. But to ignore me, I hate that. I hate the ignoring. That is the worst, the most
disrespectful thing. And by the way, for people that don't know Andy Firm, he's on Fox Sports Radio. He works weekends, Saturday and Sunday.
After this little deal, my boss is here, I'd probably help you.
Hey, it's all fun. Aldo and I have a loose podcast on Monday nights, right, Aldo?
Absolutely. This is, and Andy, really, thank you very much for being on Mike North Advantage. First guest on ever on the Mike North Advantage. Mike and I have been talking now for 25 shows, and finally we said, let's have a guest. And he came up with you, Andy Furman, and I'm thrilled by it.
No, he didn't. He just told me there were 7 guys ahead of me, but that's okay. And he knows he could call me. He could call me 24/7, and I'm there for him. I'll do whatever he wants, but his wife's going to send me some chocolate chip cookies. BB's going to send me some cookies.
Oh, yes.
How much you love BB. Oh, she does. She talks better about you than anybody. I mean, you and Andy are the best. Andy's so funny. I had enough of it.
No, the worst thing was, I mean, this is really embarrassing. The first time I ever met Mike North, I was like seeing stars on the airplane. Remember that when I got off the plane? You thought I was crazy.
You got off the plane and you said
depression.
You had a problem
with
the altitude.
Yeah, the pressure in the cabin got to me a little bit. I don't know what it was.
Hey.
And then when you came down, I said to Jonas Knox, who's working at Fox, he was our producer. I said, this guy's nuts. And I said, and Jonas goes, yeah, he's seeing things and stuff. I go, he's perfect.
I was.
And then we ended up having a great relationship. And you know what? I remember Andy. Now, Andy, tell him what you have to do nowadays. You send a rundown because you work with a lot of different people. So you want them to know because you usually the leader. You were the leader of our show. You were the guy that was the number one guy. Bring people in, bring people out. You wanted your hosts, including the ones that didn't show up on a regular basis, that would leave you holding the bag, which I've never understood. If you get a job in radio, man, if you can't show up on time, that's on you. But you said to me, you sent me a script. Tell Aldo what happened.
Oh, that was the first one last month. Well, here's the deal. I mean, you know, I'm one of those guys, I'm a nervous guy. I'm a nervous wreck. You know, when I have a test in school, I would, like, stay up all night and have diarrhea the next day. That's the way I am, you know? It's good. I mean, it worked out well for me because that's the way I am. I'm a nervous kind of guy. When I go on the radio, I like to be prepared, so I write a script. My scripts are not like one sheet of paper. It's like a little edition of War and Peace. That's my script. It's like 37 pages long. As a matter of fact, when I type up the script segment by segment, I could pull a bum off the street and give it to him, and he could do the show. If we have a guest, I write the questions on the script. It's amazing. So the first time I did a show with Mike, I sent him the script. I emailed it to him. He went nuts. Don't you dare ever send me a script again. I said, whoa, geez. So I still do it. And 99 times out of 100, when I'm on the radio, I don't even look at it. You know, because you usually go off the left field, you get on a topic, and you...
The reason I told you not to send a script wasn't because I disrespected what you do. I said, I don't know what you're going to talk about, if I don't have an answer to anything you ask me, I shouldn't be on the air. I should be ready for anything you bring at me that's pertinent. I remember you bringing... And you know what? That's why the show worked. Because if both Holtz know what's going to be talked about, what these guys do, and I watch this Fox NFL coverage. I watch the NFL on CBS. They rehearse their segment before
it's
they go
scripted.
On.
Mm-hmm.
I could never do that. I couldn't.
No doubt.
When I did Monsters in the Morning, I had a TV show. Me and Jiggets, and we never knew what we were going to talk about. Now, TV, you know, what would happen is they bring out, they tell you what they wanted you to talk about. LeBron.
Right.
Well, you know what? You don't ask each other what we think about before we come on.
Right. No doubt. You got
to
come up.
Talk about LeBron. Because the producers got to have
something.
They got
to
have the film ready.
Right. But I'm going to admit to you right now, you're not going to believe this. I do not have a script for this podcast. I do not. I'm just doing it off the top of my head. Maybe. I am. I promise. The only thing I wrote down, I wanted to ask you a quick question about the city of Chicago, if I can. I want to know. I want to know, as we speak right now, who is more hated in the city of Chicago as we speak, Cody Parkey or Steve Bartman? I want to know.
Oh, Bartman's fine. Right, Aldo? Bartman's fine now. I mean, that's my Parkey is hated. Some guy said this to me the other day, and I had to share. I said,
he went on the Good Morning America, didn't he? He was a schmuck. Why did he go on TV?
He had a pity party.
Go into hiding.
You know what's great? When there's 52 guys on the team, and four say it was okay, and you don't hear from the other 47.
That's right.
Right.
He's gone. I think he's gone because Aldo...
48 and 4 is 52, not 47. That's why you were in the seventh grade twice.
What are you talking about?
You said the other 47, and they said four guys don't throw. 47 and 4 is 51. And you said
don't start
guys.
Your math with me.
Parkey's the
don't
52nd.
Start your math with me.
Parkey's the 52nd.
I said 47 plus 4 that liked him, plus him, you numbskull.
Okay, okay,
you
are. That's what I can't tell.
You went to PS what? PS minus 142, you rascal. Hey,
right.
Let me ask you something. What's going?
That's why I can't win the lottery. I don't know how to pick the number.
Edge, what have you been doing? What have you been up to? Tell Aldo what you've been up to.
Okay, you want to hear what I did today? I woke up about the 8:30 in the morning. I got up and I said, what am I going to do today? Well, usually once a month. I'm down to once a month now, which is great. I used to go twice a week. I go once a month to get my allergy shots. I have no idea what the hell I'm allergic to, but when I wasn't feeling well about 2 years ago. Like I was stuffed up. So I took one of these allergy tests. They call it a scratch test. This kind of like marked up my back. If anybody has ever had this, they'll know. They put like Tic Tac Toe on your back. Oh, it's terrible.
But you know what? Best thing that ever happened to me was getting that allergy test. I don't have a stuffed up nose anymore.
Yeah, me either. I guess it worked. It's the greatest scam in the world because... You feel good, and you wonder if it works, and you wonder how it would be if you didn't take the shots. So I do it. I do the shots, and he told me I was allergic to cats, mice, dogs, dirt, shit. I mean, you name it, I'm allergic to. I mean, really, I'm lucky I'm alive, really. So I go once a month, I get two shots. I went today. After that, I had some Chinese food with my son Jake, a little Chinese food. And after that, I went to the cigar shop. I sat down and had a couple of cigars with my boys and sat down, had a little talk, and then listened to the radio, and it was good. That was good. That's my day. That's my day. Is that a lie?
Tell him
I don't
who comes in. Tell everybody who comes into the cigar shop. Give us a couple
Oscar
stories
Robertson
about who comes in.
The big old Oscar Robertson comes into the cigar shop, and he's a good friend of mine. I can honestly say that, but I have not seen him in about 2 months because he had double knee replacement, and I worry about the big old. I talked to him on the phone about a week ago. He says he's getting along, but, you know, he's got some extra weight now on those knees, and it's not good. And if I know the big old, I don't think he's going 100% with the rehab. So hopefully he'll come around, so we'll see.
Oscar Robertson is how old nowadays? He's got to be 80.
Oscar right now, he's about 82. I think he's 82, 83, yeah.
Not bad. Not
amazing.
Bad.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty bad when you pick up the
newspaper.
It was
so long ago, I hate to say this, I don't remember the skinny Oscar Robertson. It's almost like Elvis, you know, fat Elvis, skinny Elvis. Because, you know, I mean, Oscar got big, and that's why his knees are gone. Besides the fact, I mean, he played so much basketball. They didn't travel worth a damn. They used to be on commercial planes. They used to listen, your grandmother could be coming in for a flight, and Wilt Chamberlain could be sitting next to her. Because they flew commercial back then, Andy, right?
Right, and sometimes they'd leave like 6 in the morning for a game that night. It was terrible. It's really unbelievable what they've done. But, you know, it's kind of bad when you pick up the newspaper, if you don't even know what I'm talking about when I say newspaper, and you see the obituaries. Really, the people don't know what I'm talking about when I say newspaper. I read the other day Mel Stottlemyre died. I remember as a kid watching Mel Stottlemyre for the Yankees. All these guys that I watched as a kid, they're dying right now. It's unreal. It really is.
Yeah.
Well, Mel Stottlemyre, the reason I felt bad the other day is because it does bring you back to your childhood. When the nun pulled the TV in at 1 o'clock in the afternoon for the World Series with Kurt Gowdy. And I remember, like it was yesterday, we were so jacked up that we didn't have to do anything that the nun said, look, we're bringing the TV and we're going to watch the Yankees-Giants. We're going to watch the Yankees-Reds. We're going to watch. Every year, it was like the New York Yankees fall special. In other words, you get to know the Yankees every single season. And what happened is, you started liking the Yankees. I didn't really hate the Yankees as a White Sox fan. I respected them. I wanted to beat them. But I respected them because they were on our TV and they got us out of school. And, man, they baseball in the World Series is so cool. I wish they would go back to at least one game out of the 6 or 7, depending on travel, so the kids could stay up. I don't have to wait and stay up till 9 o'clock at night. They can watch a game at 1:30. I mean, the Cub franchise was built on day baseball, and all I keep seeing is teams like Tampa Bay and the Chicago White Sox and Cincinnati and Cleveland playing night games and drawing 12,000. You could draw 12,000
and the funny thing is,
you can take more during the day.
They need to develop fans for the future. I mean, who am I to tell them what to do? Obviously, the TV money trumps fan base, because they're making big money from TV, and that's what they want. That's why the games are on prime time at night. But they need to develop a fan base. I'll tell you right now, if you were to write down the names of sports right now in the pecking order, I'd say NFL is number one. I'd say number two is probably college football. That's number two. Number three, maybe the NBA, maybe Major League Baseball. I don't know. But a Major League Baseball was king.
You know what? Every single damn time we talk, you figure out a way.
I know.
You figure out a way to give baseball a kick in the groin every single time.
I love baseball. I love baseball, but it's got some problems. I think one of the problems
love
is
baseball
it's
like you love baseball like Elizabeth Taylor loved Richard Burton. Nothing but fights and aggravation. Okay? I mean, seriously, every time baseball stands the test of time. I'm gonna watch Field of Dreams tonight. Get a little appreciation. It's a great game. You know it. I know it. Now, I won't argue they need to do better marketing. But here's
what
I would say: if the Cubs built the Cubs have the most popular franchise in history, and they built generations of fans playing 81 day games. The White Sox draw 17,000 in a city, in a state, or the Chicagoland area of 8 million. They draw 17,000. They should play day games. Take the light standards down and do what the Cubs did for three decades, and I guarantee you they'll build their fan base up.
There are more people downtown Chicago and Walgreens than there are watching the White Sox. It's true. I'm telling you right now. It's embarrassing. It really is embarrassing. It doesn't make any sense. And I'll tell you how bad baseball is, and I love baseball, but I'm telling you, this is a key. They had the Pro Bowl yesterday. Everybody badmouthed the Pro Bowl. The Pro Bowl had something like a 5.5 rating, and that's a better rating, almost a double rating, of the Major League Baseball All-Star game on TV. Explain that. Yeah. Explain
but
that.
Andy, I will say this. I stopped watching the Pro Bowl when I was 17. I'm reading yesterday people complaining that they're running the ball too much, like it's a real a game. I'm going, oh,
right.
My God.
Yeah.
I go, people right. are out of their minds. And then I see Trubisky get drilled, and I'm going, oh, my God. I go, I cannot believe they called that play, and this guy ends up only almost getting his head taken off. So, to me, I was glad the Bears got out of there without injuries. But of all people, by the way,
yeah.
Speaking of attendance, how are your Reds doing? And can I just say, congratulations.
I haven't started
you
yet.
Just, I know, but guess what? You just got rid of Marvin Lewis after 16 miserable 0-7 playoff seasons. How do you feel, my friend?
You know, I'd say it's long overdue, and I hate to see anybody get fired. I know what that's like. It's embarrassing. It's humiliating. But honestly, you don't get the job done, you got to go. And the point is this. If you're a coach, you want to love to coach the Cincinnati Bengals because there's so much job security in that job. It's the best job in the world. You never get fired. You know, he had the second longest tenure behind Bill Belichick. It's Belichick and Marvin Lewis, and they're like almost extreme opposites. Belichick goes to 5 Super Bowls, and Marvin Lewis can't win a playoff game.
All right. Tell everybody what happened when you were the one that broke the coaching story in Cincinnati. And I said you wouldn't get any credit for it, but I knew what you did. Tell everybody what happened.
Well, I appreciate that. Look, here's the deal. I go to the cigar shop, and there's a lot of connected people there. And one of my guys told me that through the Bengals that he heard that Zach Taylor, the quarterback coach of the L.A. Rams, is going to be the next coach of the Bengals. Well, when I heard that, I didn't even bother calling anybody else because that's good enough for me. This guy's connected. He's my guy. He's close with the Bengals, inside guy. I put it on Twitter, put it on Facebook. And next thing you know, not only am I getting credit, oh, Furman said it. He's just throwing up crap. Then all of a sudden, it had a life of its own. And then people said, yeah, this may very well happen. And I got some credit from Ian Rappaport. God bless him. And a guy who is confident in his own skin could give somebody
sure.
else credit. And Ian Rappaport obviously is confident. We're at NFL Network. He knows. He says, apparently when Andy Furman wrote, there's a lot of merit to it. That's going to be happening. And as the L.A. Rams kept on winning down the playoff line, you know, obviously you can't name a coach during the time your team is still playing.
Mm-hmm.
So it looked better and better and better. And now it looks really that Zach Taylor's going to be named the coach of the Bengals probably next Monday, the day after the Super Bowl. So, you know, and really a couple of people said, yeah, you know, good hit. And it's nice. It's nice to be recognized. But really and truly, I understand how the whole system works now. You know, if you got a big name and people, and I don't, and people, and my business is not to break stories, but these other people go out there and whatever they say is the gospel, and they're probably wrong more often than they're right.
Oh, yeah.
But they get credit because of their so-called name. That's what it is.
Yeah, we've seen that happen a lot. Hey, Andy, I got to ask you a question. Mike North had announced a little over a week ago that he's working on his autobiography. If you could install one story into Mike's autobiography of something that you witnessed or something that was that you were a part of, what would it be?
Oh, I love it. With the night that he saw that one guy and he got over the wrong floor and he went, tell me that story. I love that story. Right? Remember that story? That story's got to be in the movie. As a matter of fact, I could play the guy who opened the door with no clothes on. That was the guy, right?
What are you talking about, you lunatic?
Whenever you open up, you came home late at night and you knocked on the door, but it was the wrong apartment.
Oh, okay. Oh, this was great. So we're sitting there, Andy's talking, and you're really going to relay a story I told you.
Right.
About somebody else. Okay. I was hammered, and I lived in a
what
big
else is
courtyard
new?
Building. courtyard building. And my wife, you know, baby was asleep. We lived on the third floor. And the light was out. I felt like that guy, Don Cheech. And Godfather
right.
2, I was looking to tap the light bulb to get the thing to work, and I was afraid De Niro was in the corner. There's nothing worse than the vestibule. Eldo knows this. He grew up in Humboldt Park.
Yeah, yeah.
Nothing worse than a vestibule
that's right.
with no light bulb.
That's right.
That
right.
you're walking into. And then you walk up the stairs. You don't know what's waiting for you. So I get to the floor, and I put my key in the door, and I couldn't get in. So I go, I got to wake B up. So I said, B, open the door. Open the door. Come on, it's Mike. I can't get the key in. I can't. There's no light. And my gay neighbor that lived on the second floor, it was his apartment. I went to the wrong floor. I thought I was on the third floor. And it was Bob. Good guy. But this was like 1979. You know what I mean? And he goes, hey, Mike, like that. I went, whoa, Bobby. You know what I mean? So it really was.
No, you went like this. You went,
I went, yeah, like Curly. Well, I mean, Bob had a velvet red robot. It was, you know, it was crazy. It, you know what I
you
mean?
Know what?
So,
Bobby,
I went to the wrong floor.
That's the part I want to play in the movie. It's a non-speaking role. Just give me a red robe. I could do it.
You probably have one. Ange, we appreciate it, buddy. It was a great time you coming on.
I'll see you next year. Once a year, I guess, right?
Oh, we'll get you back on. Are you kidding me? We finally figured out how to do this because this is the first time we've ever had Aldo and I work together on an interview. So Aldo brought you in, and then we started talking, and Aldo just, you know, he's great at this. He says, I'm going to let the boys do a little talking. So we did about 15, 20 minutes of reminiscing, but we had a good time, didn't we?
Aldo, thank you. I'll tell you what, can I put this on my Twitter account?
Absolutely. I will make sure that I copy you on your Twitter account. Let our followers know where they can listen to you on Fox Sports Radio.
It doesn't make a difference. They won't listen anyway, but that's fine. I'll do it. Yeah. I'll do my best. I will. I'll do my very best. I'm going to win the lottery. I want to win the lottery and buy my own radio station. Me and Mike, 24/7.
Oh.
Let me ask you something, Andy. If you won the lottery and you had enough money to buy a radio station, how many people in your head would you get rid of?
First of all, here's the deal. If I won the lottery and bought a radio station, my wife would divorce me. That's number one. Number two, I'd be out of my mind to buy a radio station. But number three, I wouldn't mind buying it. Just had the satisfaction to say, you get the hell out. Get out. Now. I don't want to see. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. I'm going out for breakfast at Bob Evans. When I come back, you better be gone.
Before
you.
I let, hold on,
Before
Andy.
Before you go, hold on. Don't go.
No.
Don't go.
Oh, just one of our guys in the chat room who are listening in live, and they're being entertained like heck. They want to know, Andy, if you're a big Marty.
Okay, you tell us in the chat room. Wait, in the chat room. From now on, after the first half hour, he's got to pay $5 an hour.
No.
The first half hour is free.
The first half. I love it. He wants to know, Harp 4803 wants to know if you're a big Marty Brenneman fan. He bets that you are.
Wait a minute. Not only do I love Marty Brenneman, I was on Fox Sports Radio this past Saturday. He was my guest. I had him on.
There you go.
I love Marty Brenneman.
There you go.
So, and I'll tell you something else. All these idiots that talk to Marty Brenneman, he announced that this year is going to be his last year broadcasting Reds baseball games, and I can't wait till it goes to Chicago. We're still killing him in Chicago, but that's another thing. But a lot of people don't realize that back in the day, he did games for the Virginia Squires for the old ABA, the American Basketball Association. I talked about that with him on the air. It was wonderful. Mm. I mean, and I said, well, why did you end up in baseball? Because I thought he was a better basketball guy, and he did the Final Four for several years as well.
Bob. Let me ask you something, Ange, before we let you go. Where can all the great people listen to you? Where can they go? Do you really care?
They go Fox Sports Radio in the middle of the night. And I'll tell you something what I did. Okay, this is what I did, Aldo, and I swear, my hand to God when I say this. You know, the name of the game is promotion. You got to promote yourself. If you're a butcher, a baker, a candlestick maker, you got to promote your business. So I want to promote the fact that I'm on the radio, but I'm on Sunday mornings from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern Time, which translates to 3 in the morning to 6 in the morning on the West Coast. So you got to believe this might be the worst hours ever in radio. Yeah, I understand.
Because in Chicago, 5 to 8's good, and in the Midwest, it's good stuff. That's what the
not on Sunday morning.
Starts at 4 o'clock
Sunday
in the morning now.
Well, Sunday, but we do get callers. I mean, I shouldn't say that. So what I wanted to do, I wrote letters to Jimmy Kimmel, and I wrote letters to the guys who do the. I said, look, I have the worst hours in radio. I'd like to be a guest on your show so I could help promote my show. I haven't heard back yet, but I'm still bombarding the letters out. That's what I'm doing. No one's going to buy.
Clever idea.
Maybe even 60 Minutes. Maybe a story on 60 Minutes. Like, I work at 6 in the morning on the East Coast on Sunday morning when other people are going to church, and I'm on the radio yelling and screaming, and maybe 60 Minutes Do something. You just don't know unless you try, right?
Absolutely.
You're not going to do it.
Absolutely. You are a marketing genius, Andy Furman. Thank you very much for being on the Mike North
God
Advantage.
Bless.
We'll call you soon.
See you, brother.
All right. Love you guys.
Take care.
All right.
Ah, that was fun. That was fun.
I don't know if it was fun or not. It was mayhem. It was what usually was with me and Andy on Fox for three wonderful years. We never missed a day, Monday through Fridays. We went up against Greenberg. In fact, with millennials, we were ahead of Greenberg and Golic at the time. They did better with older people, and we were the older guys, and we did better with the younger people.
Isn't that wild?
It was good. And Andy's a funny man, but he did some stuff. Now, you talk about the stuff I've done.
Mm-hmm.
He did some crazier stuff. He did some crazier, like some of the stuff that he said.
Oh, yeah,
Night. When he first told me about it, I couldn't believe it.
I was going to say, if you run a Klan night at a sporting event, the souvenir T-shirts are just white T-shirts, right?
I don't know what it was, but here's what he says to me. I go, give me some, because he read my book. And he also had heard about me, and he said, boy, you did some stunts in Chicago. I said, yeah, like, you know, we did, you know, but I was known for Hug a Black Day, you know, Hug a Jew Day, Caucasian Man, making parody songs and stuff like that, like Secret Asian Man and stuff like that. I go, what'd you do? He goes, well, I had a Klan night at a racetrack, and I invited the Imperial Wizard. And I go, you thought that was appropriate? He goes, well, I didn't think it was a big deal until I was fired right after the race. I mean, so, you know, this was back in the 80s and when you could be more freewheeling, but
yeah.
My God. And then the one beat your wife night.
That's wild.
I mean, this stuff was just, he's telling me this stuff and I was absolutely amazed. So he's one of a kind. I think a lot of people heard him for the first time on Bear's Barroom.
Yep.
He's been out of the business for the most part. He doesn't have a regular gig like he used to, but you know, it's one of those deals where he doesn't have a filter. He says what he thinks, and sometimes if you don't have the right people, it's going to rub people the wrong way. So, but he's as good and funny. For the first time you heard him, Aldo, don't you think he's a pretty funny guy?
Oh, funny, talented, witty, quick, absolutely. I'm definitely going to tune into his show on Sunday morning on Fox Sports Radio.
Yeah.
I actually listened to a portion of an interview he did with Digger Phelps just recently. And boy, he got Digger to open up and share some thoughts about this, you know, college basketball scandal and Digger's thoughts on, you know, allowing players to go to the NBA early. It was a very good interview, and Andy Furman is definitely a talent. Those 3 years that you guys were together, I apologize. I did not listen to a single show. I'm going to look around.
Well, you know why? We had 220 affiliates. We couldn't get a place in Chicago.
Yeah, isn't
imagine
that something?
You're always there pondering why won't somebody pick up a great show like that with 220 affiliates. I mean, I was on in L.A. I was on in Boston. I was on in Louisville. I was on in some big cities, man. New York, but we weren't on in Chicago. But that was fine. Got paid good. Had nothing to complain about. And I'll tell you, tonight I was watching this kid, Zion Williamson.
Yes.
If the Bulls are going to tank, if the Bulls are, which I never believed anyway, because you got to be tanking for somebody. The last 5 years, there's really been nobody worth tanking for. I don't care. They tried to build up Lonzo Ball and these other guys. This guy, Zion Williamson, is the real deal.
Oh, my gosh.
You know what? But watch the Bulls not get them anyway. That's all I'm going to tell everybody. Don't be banking on this. And they got such bad karma. I don't think, you know what, it will go their way anyway.
Well, let me tell you something. The karma also extends to Anthony Davis, who was born and raised here in Chicago. He's got a tattoo on his right arm that says Chicago. He is now a member of the Pelicans of the NBA. He has told management that he wants to be traded. And Brian Windhorst of ESPN said this, that Davis doesn't want to come to Chicago. Let me play this short little clip for you.
One of the worst kept secrets in the league is that Anthony Davis does not want to play in Chicago, his hometown. I mean, the Bulls can put together a hell of an offer, but I mean, unless Anthony Davis has had a major change of heart since I was last informed, he does not desire to play in his hometown.
Isn't that sad, Mike North, that a major
talent doesn't... Well, on Twitter today, I compared it to Illinois. I mean, you know, John Shire from Glenbrook goes to, you know, Duke. You know, we lose players like Anthony Davis to Kentucky. All the Chicago players don't even want to play in their home state because they want to play for a national power. The same thing goes for pro basketball. The Bulls are so bad. And you don't think players talk?
Mm-hmm.
You don't think they know that Gar and Pax mm-hmm. are just brutal
mm-hmm.
and that there's, you know, the people like Vinny Del Negro, Tom Thibodeau, Jimmy Butler have been run out of town. Michael Jordan was run out of town. It's come back to bite them. They're not going to get any major free agents. Anthony Davis has gotten the chance, being a hometown kid, to actually watch the Bulls as a fan and see how they function. There's no way. He don't want to play for a vomit bucket organization. So, I mean, all this crap they're going to rebuild, they're never going to be anything because they can't get the big players. They just can't. The big players won't come play with them. I mean, I keep hearing he's going to go to L.A. and play with LeBron. I don't know why people would think that, because maybe that's the case. But does he want to be yelled at 5-6 times a game and told what to do? And by the time they're really ready to win, LeBron, who's getting injured, may be too old. And by that time, Zion Williamson and others are going to be the new blood.
Right.
So I don't know what he's going to do. I'd go to Oklahoma City. I'd go play with Westbrook and Paul George. I think they'd give Golden State or anybody else a battle.
Mm. Mike, I know that you've had your differences with Jerry.
Good to
Rice.
Have you back.
Mm. Well, you made a good point. So I missed it
so badly. I was hoping it was on my alarm clock instead of digging, digging, digging. It goes.
That's,
my guy.
That's creepy.
I know
you've had your problems with Jerry Reinsdorf, but if he picks up the phone and he says, Mike, let's bury the hatchet. I need your advice on how to fix this Chicago Bulls organization. What should I do? What do you tell them?
You got to fire the two guys on top. They're just contaminated. This is their fifth rebuild. You got to get some new blood in there. You got to get a young executive. Pax it, but see, Reinsdorf, they have the same thing the Sox have. You have Reinsdorf, Kenny Williams, Rick Hahn, and then you have Reinsdorf, Paxton and Foreman.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Thibodeau starts to do real well. All of a sudden, he's becoming more influential. He's gone. Jimmy Butler complains that Hoiberg's too soft. He's gone. Vinny Del Negro, approached by Paxton in the locker room, assaulted. You don't think that players in the league know that the Chicago Bulls are run like a 10th grade sophomore organization? There's nobody that wants everything Jordan built up is gone except the fan base. They're the most naive fans in all basketball. They are so naive, Bulls fans now, that they actually think that someday they're going to be playing for an NBA championship. If Jordan never played for the Bulls, Reinsdorf would have zero. And they were lucky to win the one for the White Sox. This guy's owned teams for 35 years, okay? 36, 37 years old. What an utter disgrace. A failure.
But this franchise did get close when they happened upon Derrick Rose, and then they built some play. They brought in some players around Derrick Rose. They seemed to be getting close to knocking down on the Cleveland Cavaliers, Miami Heat teams of LeBron James, but then Derrick Rose had the injury problems. They almost, and you know what?
Don't forget, though, they got lucky to land Rose in the lottery.
Yes.
So a lot of that, you know, was started with luck and good karma. I believe that's all gone.
Yeah.
I just think they have become so mixed up on what they want to do.
Yep.
They got Zeldin playing. They got older guys playing. I mean, it's unbelievable. The move that they just pulled off of Carmelo Anthony just to make $2 million. Wait, at a flea market?
That was unbelevable.
I mean, they're just small time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Reinsdorf runs it like a Monpa operation. This is in 1985, 1990, and Jerry Krause, for him to finally get into Hall of Fame, he should have been in before any of them, because believe me when I tell you this, he's the best general manager they ever had, and all he did was get picked on. He surrounded Jordan with superior talent. He got Rodman into town. And you know what? Reinsdorf went into the Hall of Fame before Krause. That's a disgrace.
It is. It really is a disgrace. I got to tell you, but you make a good point. When Derrick Rose was when we got lucky, the Bulls got lucky and landed Derrick Rose. The Bulls management, Gar and Pax, they were trying to land a big-name free agent like a LeBron James, like a Dwayne Wade back then, and they couldn't. They ended up with Carlos Boozer because of the reputation that the Reinsdorf management team had. So you're absolutely right. I mean, they could have really built a team that could have won quickly, but those big names refused to come to Chicago.
Aldo, you know what? Your memory's great, man. I mean, you know, people forget that because of the kiss-ass media in this town that won't say what they feel that they can't say because they're, you know, they don't want to be fired. You know, Reinsdorf's horrible right now. You know what? This crap, he's a good friend of mine and all that. He stinks as an owner, period.
Yeah.
End of story. And everybody knows it, but they're afraid to say it. Now, I'm going to give you one better. I'll never forget. Tracy McGrady's coming to town. I'm at Gibson's with my buddies, about five of us, our crew. We're sitting in the corner. And I see Reinsdorf walk in. I see Krause walk in. I see Tim Floyd walk in. I see McGrady walk in. I see some guy with McGrady. I see B.J. Armstrong walk in. So I'm at the bar, and who comes in? Somebody comes in and says, Jerry Reinsdorf wants you to come sit down at their table. So somebody from either Steve Lombardo told him, hey, Mike Norris here, blah, 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 you know. I come over there, and I sit down, and I'm looking at Tracy McGrady. And Tim Floyd looks like a sad puppy. Everybody knows he's not going to play here. They had Benny DeBoer meet him at the airport, all this crap. You know, he just wanted his ego stroked. And for him to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, by the way, is a joke. Tracy McGrady, first ballot Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. My God, what was Bill Chamberlain? He should have been put in 5 years before he retired. I mean, my God. So we're staring at each other. He goes, you're in my buddy's seat because his buddy came up. I go, buddy, this is my town. This is my seat. And I got up and I walked away and I looked at Reinsdorf and rolled my eyes. Who wants this tool anyway? You know, hot shot. So, you know what? Tracy McGrady was a loser that didn't want to come to a losing organization. So, you know what? Neither one ever did much of anything.
Yeah, it's sad. It really is sad what's happened to this great
Jordan
organization.
Jordan built it up. The fans are going there like saps.
Yep.
Saps.
Yeah. They're brainwashed, I guess, for some reason.
They believe them because the media will not. There's nobody will tell the truth that these guys don't know what they're doing. There's people that still think, I mean, that are believing the White Sox are going to win the World Series in 2 years. It's absolutely ludicrous. They don't even have a pitcher. I just don't understand what's happened. But I do. I mean, when the sports teams control the media, the fans become almost brainwashed. Yep. Not all of them, but a lot of them.
Yep, that is very, very true. Now, tell me, were you among the 9 million people who watched the Pro Bowl game on Sunday?
I didn't watch 1 minute of it because I've really soured on the Pro Bowl. I don't care.
It's tough.
They monkey around. It's a joke that there's a betting line. Mm-hmm. I did like the under, which was 55. I just thought it was too low because it's been much, much higher in years past. And when I saw it was that low, but I said, I'm not going to bet it. I don't want to. You don't know what's going to happen. They ended up having Saquon Barkley and other people playing different positions. If one of these guys would have gotten hurt, you know, one of these days somebody's going to get hurt bad on lateral plays. And then I know it's to have fun.
Yes.
But I just find it amusing that we're supposed to not play our starters the first four preseason games before the first regular season game, but at the end of the year, we could risk their livelihood on nonsense like playing in the Pro Bowl.
That's a great point, Mike North. That is a great point. And that's
what I do, Aldo. That's what I do.
And those conditions yesterday.
How do you think the first interview went? How do you think it went with Andy? You think it started out crazy, then we settled down, don't you think?
Well, I love the craziness. I thought you guys the energy was just popping out of the computer.
Oh, my God. I just want to make sure it's our first one. We got a big guest next week.
Ooh, I can't wait to hear who that is. I will tell you this. The idea of having guests on the Monday version of the Mike North Advantage, it was brilliant on your part. I'm really glad that you're doing that. And I can't wait to listen to who you're going to bring on, because you've got your little black book of potential guests must be about as thick as the Matt Nagy Chicago Bears playbook.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. You know what? It's good, and I was looking forward to doing the show, just like I'm looking forward to the Bears next year.
Yes.
I'm jacked up about this Bear team.
Mm-hmm.
I really am. I just think that this Bear team, and you know what? The fact that we had a lot of Pro Bowlers and stuff like that, I was happy for the players because they deserved it, because, you know, there's been other years where the Bears had decent teams, but there were great players overlooked. I mean, Doug Buffon played like a year, 14, 15. He never had a Pro Bowl.
Right.
He played when there was an injury or something. But, I mean, it's just because he played next to Butkus.
Yep.
You play next to that, I mean, you know, you're not going to get much action. And you know, there were great linebackers back in the day, on outside linebackers as well. So, you know, it's good that those guys made it. It shows them. But they seem like a very confident Bears team, and there haven't been many of those, especially in my lifetime.
You are absolutely right, and like you said at the top of the show, we don't plan anything here, but what you just said was a perfect segue to this interview soundbite that I have from Eddie Jackson, who talked to the ChicagoBears.com. He talked about how much fun he had this week and about the Kyle Fuller interception.
Man, it was fun. You know, it was natural for me. You know, like I said, we try to hang out, go celebrate. You know, I told him, let's take a picture, you know, keep a little, you know, tradition going that we've been doing for the Bears. But, you know, man, you know, Cal and those guys, man, I'm so happy for them to finally see that, you know, them get the recognition they deserve. And for us to all be here right now, man, it's a blessing.
It was, he was referring to Kyle Fuller's interception and the fact that they took a picture afterwards. Akeem Hicks talked to the media after the game, and he talked about whether the experience at the Pro Bowl was going to make him hungrier next season.
Oh, no, I'm always hungry, right? So I'm always going to push for to be better and to dominate the Saints whenever I play them, Mr. Warford. No, but anyway, man, it's been a great season. Stuff like that. You have a great time with guys that you don't normally get to be around, so it's pretty cool.
Those guys had a blast down there, and it's good to see.
Yeah.
It's good to see them have fun, but you're absolutely right. The dangers of playing in that game aren't worth it. It's just not.
Listen, all I'm going to say is when we talk at the preseason that we can't get anybody hurt, and then, I mean, there's people getting drilled in this game, yes. When Trubisky got drilled, and I read about it, and then that's all. I read about it, that he got drilled on some misdirection play. I read about it on Twitter. I followed the Pro Bowl through Twitter. All you have to do is look at Twitter, and the people are telling you what's going on. But there were people worried about their running the ball too much. I go, are we really taking the Pro Bowl seriously? I mean, it was a thing when I was 12, 13, 14. I wanted to see Gale Sayers make it every year and Dick Butkus make it every year. I wanted to see Otis Wilson. And then all of a sudden you start to – they started the nonsense.
Yep.
Where they didn't play defense, they didn't try, and that's when they lost me.
Yeah, it was. And I know you didn't watch the game. I just saw some of the highlights. It was really pathetic. Sometimes they'd run the ball up the middle, and they would just touch the running back, and they would
blow. Well, I saw highlights, the lateral play on the highlight reel. I go, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And then I saw they played Saquon Barkley and that other kid from New Orleans.
Right.
I mean, I didn't say I didn't see highlights and stuff. I saw that.
Yeah.
But I did. I'm not going to spend time. I'm watching basketball yesterday.
Yeah.
I'm betting on games. I'll tell you, to Zion Williamson, they finally got a kid in college where you don't have to bet a game to watch it. I mean, it's an attraction. That, so, you know, you pray that, you know, things are getting hot for our Chicago, at least the Bears.
Yep.
I'd like to see the Bulls. If they get this kid, he's a franchise changer, period.
Mm-hmm.
End of story. But if they don't, they're going to be the same old Bulls, period.
And the Blackhawks, you know, they've actually shown a heartbeat. They could sneak into the playoffs, and who knows what happens once you're in the playoffs. So I'm hopeful that the Blackhawks can do something.
I'd like to see it, but, man.
You're not
hoping. Are they fell off? I mean, do you really spend time watching the Hawks, Aldo?
You know what? I love hockey. If you come down to my man cave, I've got hockey paraphernalia all over the place.
Nice.
But when they're playing poorly, it reminds me of those years that the Pop Awards just ruined that franchise. So sometimes it can be difficult to watch.
I cannot believe that. I thought they were going to be like the Red Wings and win, like, for 20 years.
Yes.
you know, always be in the playoffs. I can't believe that they're already having these struggles.
I know,
and I know
crazy.
The salary cap makes a difference, but man, you got Kane that could score 50 goals. You got Taves who's playing better. Mm-hmm. I mean, what happened? And then you start seeing the big contracts they gave certain guys that haven't performed.
Right.
And you say to yourself, they really made some miscalculations. And let me just say this. Dale Talon's the guy that drafted Kane and
yes.
Taves. So if it wasn't for him, they'd have nothing.
Right.
Forget about Stan Bowman.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm glad he filled in the blanks. He did get some people. He got Hossa, some other people. I give him all the credit in the world. They won cups. But, man, without Dale Talon and those two first guys, they don't win anything.
You are absolutely right. I've been saying that
man,
for a long time.
Man, am I on fire tonight. You'd never know we were off for a week.
We were off
right?
for a week.
It was, are you kidding me?
It was painful being away from you, Mike. It really was.
It was. You know what? I kept seeing your pictures on Twitter, how nice it was out there. What was the temperature like?
It was in the 50s the entire week. It got up to 60 for game day on Saturday. It was really pleasant. And the food was great.
And the players, they all stay at one place? Or do they stay at a couple different hotels?
I think every one of them stayed at the Renaissance where all the activities were held. And then the convention center is right across the street where the weigh-ins were held and some player interviews. So they have it set up really nice. The stadium is about 2 miles away from the downtown area there. So it's very, very pleasant. I recommend all Bears fans, next year, let's go down there and let's have a cookout. Let me tell you something. The tailgating down there, unbelievable. Oh,
can
my
I just
gosh.
Stop you for just a second? Can I just stop you for a second?
Okay.
First of all, is there a casino in the area?
No. That's
okay, number one, no casino. Number two, I get that. That's fine because mm-hmm. some of these places do. I know Hank Aaron lived there. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
His house, I guess, they got, you know, there and everything else. But did I really hear you say jump on a plane and then get the grill out and have a cookout? I mean, seriously. I thought I might have heard that. I wasn't sure if I did. I didn't know basically if that was a flashback you were having, but tailgating in Mobile. Is that
that sounds weird.
The travel agency business is not exactly in your future, but I understand what you're talking about. So they tailgated out of their... That's their Vegas.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
That's their week, right?
Oh, my gosh. Was it ever their week? It was. And then
doesn't it pay for Mobile's lights the whole year?
It does.
I mean, by just having that one week?
It does. You know what? I should really become like the, what's it called, the travel person in the city and so forth. Because that town,
yeah.
Mobile was actually the very first city to celebrate Mardi Gras. And then they let New Orleans take it away and enjoy all the riches of Mardi Gras week, but Mardi Gras started in Mobile. They need to bring that back in a big way.
Here's what I envision. Forget Chicago, the city of big shoulders. New York, the city that never sleeps. Mobile, come have a hot dog. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
No, it's a poor boy.
I'm your travel agent, Aldo Gandia, and don't ever forget it.
All right. Before we sign off, what are your preliminary thoughts about this upcoming Super Bowl game? We're going to talk about it for an hour plus on Friday, but let me know your preliminary thoughts on the Super Bowl.
I'm hearing most of the money. Now, that doesn't mean it's not going to happen, but mm-hmm. I'm hearing right now, early, that doesn't mean it's not going to even out,
right.
that everybody's taking New England. Which means, and it's hard for me, I almost don't even want to bet this game because I don't want to see the Rams win. I want to see New England win, but I will give everybody the accurate read, and I probably will end up betting it because how do you sit out not betting the Super Bowl after you bet everything else? We had such a great year. I ended up winning the competition.
Congratulations.
It was fun.
Yeah.
There's other things that have grown from it. We've done great with the Bears Bar Room. Everybody's had a good time. We got a lot of big things happening down the line. Bears Bar Room, I think you could agree, Aldo, since you're the man, you're a one-man gang here. I mean, you went down there with you were with Derek Shimon and some other good people down there, but you went down there. You could agree that Bears Bar Room has become rather significant as far as the National Football League. At least people are following it now, right?
Yeah, well, I think the NFL has taken notice of us to a degree.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, and all I do, I'm going to just say this. When you check my Twitter handle, one out of every six or seven tweets is about Bears Bar Room when we're active, and we're active most of the time,
right.
And we all mm-hmm. had some good banter during the Senior Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you another thing. I want them always to remember this in the National Football League and especially the Chicago Bears. We tweet out Bears stuff all the time that they put out.
That's right.
Everybody does. And I think that's important that everybody understands that the dot-com places and the podcasts and everything else are for the good of the Chicago Bears. Am I right?
Absolutely. The work that we do to promote the NFL and the Chicago Bears, I mean, for every penny that we've made through advertising with our work here, we have made probably, I would conservatively guess, probably $1,000 to the Chicago Bears in the NFL, because people run out and buy their merchandise, and not through us. They buy it directly from NFL.com, and they buy tickets to games.
And all the videos they see.
Look,
Akeem Hicks, believe me, when I got hired this year, brought on this year by Bears Byram, I wasn't that big a Akeem Hicks fan. Mm-hmm. And I started listening to everybody, I started paying attention.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's it. It's a two-way street.
Absolutely.
It really is. So, you know what, it's great. By the way, Vrdoljak, great job for them. We're going to talk to them after the Super Bowl. They've been nothing but a great group, and I want everybody to remember that. Vrdoljak Law Group at VR. That's VRDOLYAK. VRDOLYAK. And the number is 844-485-4529. TixPlix. We appreciate everything they have. We're going to things are growing. And Aldo, I mean, things are so good. Did you try to get a junior suite at the Conquistador or whatever the hell you were staying at in Mobile?
I did not, but I did go for a massage, and all the guys that know me down there knows that Mobile, you can get a really, really good massage.
Let me ask you something. Was it a man that massaged you?
No.
Or was it a... God.
It was a beautiful young lady.
The guy that walks in with the whole white uniform, you know, the white T-shirt, the white slacks, and he's got hair coming out from the top of his shirt to the, you know, and then he's going to rub your back for a half an hour, you know?
That was a man?
Take it easy. Hey, I'll tell you what, this was fun, wasn't it?
This was fun. Let's play the closing.
Thanks for the new open, you rascal.
Ah, I love putting that together. I might try to do a new one every week, because those are fun to put together, and there's plenty of material. Say goodbye to your fans.
Thanks to Andy Furman. Thanks to Andy. We appreciate it, Andy, and for Fox Sports Radio. And next week we'll have another big-time guest. Don't forget Friday, the Mike North Advantage. And Eldo, I just want to say thank you. I missed you. And have a good one, my friend, and everybody.
Thank you. Bye-bye.